All right, guys, welcome in to Takeology. It's just me today. Alex is out with family, so it'll just be me. We're going to do the usual. We'll go through injuries, waiver wire. I know we're starting a little bit later in the week. Alex has some family in town, so we couldn't do it on Tuesday. So we're here today. We're going to go through our usual, and then at the end, we'll go through some games. So we'll start out with the lab report. There's actually quite a few injuries this week, and we'll go through each one of them. So we'll start off with Ladd McConkey. He had an ankle injury in this past game. He was limited. Same thing with Quentin Johnston. He was also limited with a shin injury. So just keep that, monitor that, so we can kind of see who's going to play there. Gadsden was also injured last week with the knee. So it'll be interesting to see who plays, because if one or two of them are missing, that's going to elevate the others even more. We've kind of seen it's been kind of volatile with these players because they have so many pass-catching weapons on the Chargers. But if one or two of them's missing, that'll definitely elevate the other two or three. Going a little bit more, Brian Thomas, he has an ankle injury. He missed this past week. He's been a little bit of a – had an injury bug this year, and he hasn't really turned out for fantasy. I know that firsthand. I have him on a couple different teams, and it hasn't really worked out. He's been, in the fantasy community labeled as one of the biggest busts this year. So that's definitely disappointing, but we would like to see him play this upcoming game. Hopefully we can get a full practice tomorrow, but definitely need to be watching that, because if he's unable to go, Parker Washington has been great for this team. He's had 10 or more targets in the last three games. The only downside is he was also limited with a hamstring injury. So we definitely hope he's there, or even better, we hope they're both there. It looks like we're finally going to get to see Brock Purdy get back in the action, which I don't really know how the 49ers feel about that, because Mac Jones has been balling. He's been playing pretty good, but Purdy with the toe, he had a full practice. They expect him back. And then Pearsall was limited, which – we haven't seen him for most of the year. I believe he played the first three games, and we haven't seen him since. So we definitely hope to see Pearsall back out there, because that's the best weapon for this 49ers team, with the exception of George Kittle. And bringing up George Kittle, if Purdy's back, I think that's definitely going to elevate him a ton. We saw how good their connection was together last year, so we definitely want to get that going into the end of the season, and especially into the fantasy playoffs. Torrey Horton, he was a DNP with a groin/shin injury, so I don't expect to see him out there. They also just traded for Raheed Shaheed. This team is loaded. Darnold had to throw 15 pass attempts last week, and they scored 44 points. This could be the team that we might see in the Super Bowl, especially in a NFC that is a little bit down this year compared to what we've seen in the past. Flacco, he has the same injury, dealing with the shoulder. He was limited. He's expected by pretty much everybody to play. So you definitely expect to see him out there. One interesting news is Joe Burrow was back from IR. His 21-day window opened. They expect to have him back after Thanksgiving. The only thing about it is, if their record is – if it's as bad as it has been and they continue to lose games – I don't really see why they would bring Burrow back out there and just risk another injury to a player that's already been injury prone for most of his career. And Flacco, he's scoring 30 plus points a game. So I really don't know if bringing Burrow back's even worth it. Their defense isn't getting any better. So if I was running that team, I would leave Flacco in there, just let him play out his last days in the NFL, and we'll see Joe Burrow next year. Dobbins, this was really sad to see. He had a foot injury. He's gone to multiple doctors trying to get different results from those trips. He was a did not practice. They expect him to go to IR. That's really going to hurt a Broncos offense that's already not very good. They just can't seem to score points. With as good of a defense as they have, it's kind of propelled them to that 8-2 record. But this offense is it's not looking good. But if Dobbins does miss, that opens the door for RJ Harvey. I think fantasy managers are kind of disappointed with the season he's had so far. He has got quite a few red zone attempts and made the most of them. He's been really good in the receiving game. So if we can see a full game of RJ Harvey, that'll definitely be interesting to see if he succeeds. They do play the Chiefs, so that's going to be a hard rush defense to go against, but it's definitely something to watch nonetheless. Garrett Wilson was put on IR with a knee injury. That's tough. Everybody on that team's been traded. Quinnen Williams, Sauce Gardner, they seem to kind of be looking towards the future. It's basically a full rebuild. And he got paid. He's going to be there with the exception unless he gets traded. But it's definitely disappointing. But they did get Mitchell from the Colts in the Sauce Gardner trade. So it's interesting to see how he does. They're actually playing tonight against the Pats. So I don't know. They've actually played pretty well tonight. The score is currently it was 14-21. Now it's 14-24. Drake May's playing well. He's an MVP front runner. 281 passing yards, one touchdown. Stephon Diggs with 105 receiving yards so far. So it'll definitely be interesting to see how the Jets look after trading all these players. Pacheco did not practice, expected with the knee injury. It'll basically be Kareem Hunt for the upcoming future until Pacheco comes back from the injury. We didn't trade for a running back. I was disappointed, as you probably know. But we'll just move forward and hope for the best on that. C.J. Stroud, he was ruled out with a concussion, so we'll see Davis Mills another week. He actually balled out. He came back against the Jags. The Jags seem to just love to blow leads. So Stroud missing, I think it's definitely disappointing for Nico Collins. But Nico did okay with Mills, so I think you can play Nico. Just lower your expectations from the wide receiver one he usually is to a two or a three. And then lastly, Kincaid did not practice with the hamstring injury. I really think Dalton Kincaid's one of the most, if not the most, important pass catcher on the Bills. They kind of got curb stomped by the Dolphins, which I don't think anybody was expecting, especially after the good game they had against the Chiefs. Now, granted, that's their regular season Super Bowl. So if he's out there, I would be a little nervous about the Bills offense in general. I think James Cook's always going to succeed. Josh Allen, he's the type of player that'll succeed. But as far as overall team success, I would be a little nervous if I was a Bills fan. Okay, we'll go into the waiver wire now. I listed out five guys here. I think there's one that's just a number one priority, and that's Parker Washington. Over the last three games, he's had 10 points, 17 points, and then another 17 points. And he's had over seven targets in all three of those games, with the most being 10 targets. And he's also added a touchdown this past week, and then he returned one for a touchdown. Parker Washington seems to be Lawrence's favorite target. Even when Brian Thomas was in there and Travis Hunter was in there, Parker Washington was still involved. But now with Brian Thomas struggling with injury, Hunter on IR, Parker Washington seems to be a smash hit, at least for a flex position. If he's scoring over 10 points, you can't really ask for more in half PPR. The next guy, he's been very surprising, Alec Pierce. He's been above 10 points in five of eight games this year, with three games of 15 or more. And then he's had five or more targets in the last four games. He seems to be very important for this offense. He's very good at the deep shots. Daniel Jones has been pretty good at the deep ball. We've seen a decline in Daniel Jones' play over these past couple games. I think he's had seven turnovers, and that's not counting the three fumbles he almost lost. So hopefully we get a little bit of an uptick in Daniel Jones' play this week, not next week because they play with Chiefs. But just for Alec Pierce and this overall offense, we hope to see Daniel Jones play a little bit better. That being said, I think Jonathan Taylor can kind of dig them out of anything. The dude's a stud. He might be the MVP if it wasn't a quarterback award. He's on pace to scare LaDainian Tomlinson's touchdown record, which no one's even came close to. So this is an historic season from Jonathan Taylor. So hopefully it continues. Hopefully this offense success continues. But with the pass catchers, it seems to be a little scary. You never know who's going to be left out. One game it's Pittman. Downs seems to always be left out. But one consistent in that passing game is Alec Pierce. So I definitely think he's a good pickup. Slayton for the Giants, last two games he's had 11 or more points. I think this one kind of rides on Jackson Dart's availability. He got a concussion this past week. So if he can clear concussion protocol, I would be okay with starting Slayton, but it looks like he's not going to. And with Russell Wilson likely being the backup, I probably would leave Slayton out. But if Jameis Winston somehow gets put in because Russ is washed, which I think we all think he is, I think Slayton would be an okay play because Jameis Winston loves to chuck the ball. I don't really know why he's this available in so many leagues, but Joe Flacco, the last three games he's had 25 or more points. He has a very favorable matchup against Pittsburgh, whose pass defense, although it has some big names, has not been very good. He throws it for more than 35 times the last three games. Three out of those four games, he was 40-plus attempts. He loves to throw the ball. He has two great receivers in Higgins and Chase. I think this offense just offers a lot of fantasy goodness for the quarterback and receiver positions. So I would be 100% comfortable playing Flacco. And with Joe Burrow possibly coming back, this could be Flacco's last couple of games. So I would expect him to throw it as much as he can. So I would love to play him against Pittsburgh. Last guy would be Tez Johnson. He's been over 10 points the last 4 weeks. He also has four touchdowns the last 4 weeks. So it's a little scary being that touchdown dependent, but it really looks like Baker loves to target Tez in the red zone. And Tez is such a fast receiver. He gets open on these scrambled kind of broken plays, and Baker can find him. He's that good of a quarterback. So I would be okay with playing Tez in my flex position, especially if I'm struggling at injuries at the position or if you're struggling with bye weeks this week. So I think Tez Johnson would be a pretty good pickup as well. Just to check in on the Pats game, it's 27-14 now, another field goal. The Patriots, they might just be one of the better teams in the NFL, which I don't think many of us would have expected coming into the season. But 8-2 record, about to be 9-2. Justin Fields just sucks. 75 passing yards, one touchdown, only 11 completions. I think one positive out of the Jets is Breece Hall still having success, even though this offense is struggling. 58 rushing yards so far on 14 attempts and two catches in the receiving game. So that's one positive. As far as the receivers go, like I said, they got a Adonai Mitchell back in that trade, but he's only got one catch on five targets. If he continues to get that amount of targets, though, he could be an interesting name going forward. But with the injury at the running back position for New England, Trevion Henderson getting in here, he looks like a smash hit going into these final games in fantasy. 16 carries, 50 yards, two touchdowns. But the important part is he has five catches for 31 yards and another touchdown. So three touchdowns in the game. He looks like he's going to be very involved in the passing game, which is great. And if Stevenson continues to miss time, I don't see how Henderson can't be a running back one. He looks very good. So that's definitely a positive for people that were definitely wondering when the breakout was coming for this guy. It looks like it was this past week. So that's definitely exciting. All right. We'll move forward into the games for this upcoming week, week 11 already. It's going very fast. I wish it wouldn't go as fast. I love this time of season, this time of year, but it's definitely fun to watch. All right, so this first game we're going to cover is the Bucks-Bills. It's a 47.5 over-under. Buffalo is actually favored 5.5 points. I was a little surprised by that with their bad loss to the Dolphins, but that could energize them for this upcoming game. The Bucks are 6-3. They're playing really good. They almost won this past week against the Patriots, which it looks like it's just hard to beat them in general. The Buffalo's defense has been struggling, although they played well against the Chiefs. The Dolphins put up 30 points against them this past week, and they're especially struggling on the back end. I think Ibuka is probably going to have a huge game. He's already at 700 yards for the year, 6 touchdowns. The running backs for the Buccaneers have been a little weird. Rashad White's definitely slowed down. You could see Irving back this week. He was limited in practice. You never know, he might play. But as far as the running backs go, I think Rashad White's probably going to PPR his way into an okay week. He's very involved in the passing game. And the Bills are easy to rush against, so you may see Rashad White have a pretty good game. I think you can start Baker Mayfield with confidence. It did end up being Patrick's worst game of the year against the Bills. But like I said, it's the Bills' Super Bowl playing the Chiefs, so I wouldn't put too much stock into that. On the Bills' side, if Kincaid's out, I don't know who you can trust at the receiver position on the Bills. Khalil Shakir's their number one receiver as far as yards go. Keon Coleman hasn't amounted to much this year. So if I was having to play one of their players, it'd probably be Shakir. James Cook has been electric this year, although the Buccaneers' rushing defense is very good. So I think you still play Cook. He's a top five running back in fantasy. You still play Allen. The Bucs' secondary isn't amazing, so I think he'll still cook them. But I think you stop it there. The Bills' offensive players are hard to play for fantasy. It's a team that runs the ball more than it passes. They're the only offense in the league that does that. So I think Josh Allen will have a ton of success. Cook will have success, but I would temper your expectations going against this really good Bucs defense. If I had to choose a winner here, I'm a documented Bills hater, so I'd probably pick the Bucs, but I think the Bills have a very good chance at winning it. Next game would be the Bears against the Vikings. It's a 48.5 point over-under, which we love to see. Although it's surprising, Minnesota's favored 2.5. That, when I first looked at it, didn't make much sense to me. I think J.J. McCarthy has been struggling in the passing game. He's almost like he's playing quarterback at Michigan. He's very efficient, but he's not throwing for many yards. So Justin Jefferson will be an okay play, but I think it kind of eliminates Addison in this offense. I just don't think they have the passer to help him succeed, although he is a good player. Jefferson, you'd play. On the other side, Roma Dunze kind of had a comeback this past week. The Bears continue to come back in these games. Caleb Williams is playing well as of recently. And DeAndre Swift in this running game, as well as Manungai, they have been playing great. And the Vikings are kind of a run funnel defense, so I would be very interested in playing Swift for sure. He's back from injury with the groin. Manungai, I think it's kind of a nerfed Bears as far as the running backs go, where they have the duo that you can play both. Manungai, when he got the opportunity, was amazing. Rushed for 200 yards almost. So I think Manungai can still be a flex play. Swift, comfortable RB2 this week. I would play them both with confidence. I would play Jefferson, Adunze. Loveland's interesting. Cole Kmet's back from injury with the concussion, so I think he's kind of a scarier play. I would look elsewhere at tight end. Though if you're struggling or if most of the tight ends are picked up in your league, you can play Loveland. He has been good when he's given the opportunity. This game, I don't understand the line. It is in Minnesota. I guess that's probably where the 2.5 is coming from. But I would expect the Bears to win, although they are coming back in these games. I just don't see how J.J. McCarthy's going to do it. Now, he might. You never know. But I would probably pick the Bears in this game as well. And it's good weather. It's a dome, so it's always good weather. But you should expect to see the Bears pass for a pretty good amount. The next game is one of the most exciting ones. It's the Bengals versus the Steelers with a 48.5 point over-under. Pittsburgh's favored 5.5. That also is a bit surprising. It's mainly due to the Bengals defense being terrible. as far as the Bengals side go, I don't see who you wouldn't play. You would play Jamar. You would play Higgins. You play Chase Brown. He's kind of had a resurgence in the second half of the season when Flacco took the helm. It's just an overall way better offense compared to when Jake Browning was at the helm for this team. Joe Flacco, he's gonna have a couple bad turnovers, but he's going to throw for 300-plus yards. Like I said, he's throwing for 35 or more attempts each game. So I would play him with confidence if he is back from the injury. If Browning is the quarterback for this team, I think that automatically eliminates Higgins. I think you can still play Jamar Chase. PPR is way too a pretty good week. Chase Brown would be a bit of a scarier play with Browning at the helm. He would basically be dependent on a rushing touchdown. So if Flacco is there, play everybody. If Browning's there, I would basically only play Jamar Chase. The Steelers side of it, it's been very weird. Aaron Rodgers isn't necessarily playing bad. He's playing very well for a 40-plus-year-old quarterback. But I think you've seen he just doesn't want to take a hit. He's getting the ball out as quickly as he can. Their offensive line isn't really good enough to hold up for these long passes. Although going against this Bengals defense, you're probably good there, especially with Hendrickson being doubtful for this game. So Rodgers should have time in the pocket. DK should be a pretty good play. He's been very boomer bust, very touchdown dependent. I think it's pretty likely he does get a touchdown this game with how bad the secondary is for the Bengals. They're literally worst in every category on defense. So I would play DK. You could see Austin be an okay play. I think Jaylen Warren's going to be an amazing play. If you have him anywhere, I would automatically put him in your lineup. The tight ends have been very involved for those Steelers, although they really spread it around with Freiermuth and Washington. So I might stay away from there. But if you're struggling at tight end, they are getting a lot of red zone attempts. So you could play Freiermuth, Washington, if you had to in a pinch. But I think Warren's an automatic play, Metcalf's an automatic play. And if you're struggling at quarterback, say you had Dart, he's out with the concussion. I would play Rodgers if I had to, if there wasn't a better option. If Flacco's out there, play him. He's a much better option. But Rodgers should be decent against this bad Bengals defense. I will say this division is getting tight with the Ravens coming back, having Lamar back. Their defense is playing a lot better. Pittsburgh might get a little tight. I would love to see Cincinnati win this game. We could see Joe Burrow inserted back in this offense with their record. I would likely pick the Bengals here, although their defense is terrible, but I think I would go with the Bengals. They're going to score 30-plus points. I just don't know if Aaron Rodgers can necessarily do that, especially if the Bengals can get any sort of pressure on him. The next game, this is really season-defining here. The Seahawks look like a juggernaut, but on the other hand, the Rams have the best quarterback play in the league right now. Matthew Stafford, 3 straight games with 4-plus touchdowns, no interceptions. That's an NFL record. It's kind of Stafford's MVP to lose at this point. If he continues even close to this play and the Rams are having success, I think Matthew Stafford has kind of locked up the MVP. But there's a 48.5 point over-under in this game. The Rams are favored by 3.5. I think that's mainly due to the game being in SoFi. Although the Rams never have a home game, really, with how well the fans travel in that stadium. But I would love to see the Rams win. It would kind of shake up the division here. They're both 7-2. The Seahawks are 4-0 in division play. The Rams are 3-1. This will really be – it'll either tell us that the Seahawks defense is as good as we think it is or have seen it is, or Matthew Stafford tears them up and is just a lock for MVP. So that's definitely going to be one of the most exciting games to watch. Sam Darnold has looked as well like an MVP candidate. He has 17 touchdowns this year, only 6 picks, to Matthew Stafford's 25 touchdowns, 2 picks, which is insane. I think you can start them both. I would be way more confident in Stafford with his play this season, but Sam Darnold will also be a good play. The running backs for the Seahawks is a scary one. Charbonnet, he gets all the red zone carries. Walker could take them all the way to the end zone, and they're going to stop play and put Charbonnet in for the one-yard touchdown. So that's really bad to see if you're a Walker owner in fantasy. But he's – with the state of the waiver wire from the running backs, I've seen a lot of people dropping Walker, going with some of these guys they're picking up off the waiver wire. I don't really think that's a good play with how bad the backup options are. You're basically down to insurance backs on the wire. So I'd keep Walker. I wouldn't necessarily play him against this Rams defense that has been very good. But by no means is Walker a drop. If I was to play one of the two, I would play Charbonnet just because of the touchdown upside. And he actually played well last game, better than Walker. 14 carries for 70-plus yards and a touchdown. So I would go with Charbonnet, but I wouldn't be confident about either. At the receiver position for the Seahawks, I think we all know JSN has been one of the best fantasy players. He's number one at the position, 1,000 receiving yards already, 63 receptions, 5 touchdowns. You can play him with confidence. It is interesting with Rashid Shaheed getting traded to this team. I think he's going to offer them an element down the field. Me and Alex kind of talked about it last week. I've seen some people questioning if this is going to affect JSN as far as fantasy output goes. I don't believe so, because Rashid is used so much down the field. At least he was with the Saints. And JSN's main part of the field is over the middle, on these short out routes. So I would be not affected at all with this trade. I have JSN. I'm still as confident as I was before the trade. I think it's just going to make this offense even better, and Sam Darnold should have even better performances. He's been one of the best downfield throwers this season. I think he has an 80% catch rate for these deep balls. And that's what Rashid Shaheed excels at. So for Darnold especially, I think this is going to make him even better of a fantasy play. JSN's going to be amazing. Play him every single week, no matter the defense. And you could mix in Rashid Shaheed if you are struggling at the receiver position. Throw him in your flex. Cooper Kupp, he's decent. I think he's just kind of a move the chains guy, so I wouldn't be looking to play him. But if you had to, I think you could. On the Rams side, we also know it's a pretty easy decision. It is a good defense, but Kyren Williams, he's an automatic play. 700 rushing yards this year, 5 touchdowns. If Devontae Adams somehow misses this game, which he's expected to play, but if he does miss, Williams' red zone usage will go even more up. They've been really good in the red zone targeting Adams on these one-on-one situations. So if Adams is in, I'd be even more confident with Stafford. If Adams is out, I would be more confident in Williams. Puka, he's top 3 fantasy player. He's amazing. He gets targeted 8 or more times a game. He's not really a touchdown machine, but he's used so much on this team that you can play him. He's such a good player. He just makes it look easy. It's kind of what we have seen from Travis Kelce over the years. You would think defenses would figure out how to cover him, but they just always seem to be open. So Nacua is an automatic play as well. Everybody on your Rams, Devontae Adams, Nacua, Williams, Stafford, play him. JSN and Darnold, I think you play on the Seahawks side. If you have to, play Charbonnet out of the two running backs there. The next game will be the Chiefs versus the Broncos. This game I kind of threw in there, not because of the over-under, because it's only 44.5, but it's just a close game to my heart. This is also a very important game. The Broncos with the 8-2 record, same division as the Chiefs. It's going to be very hard to catch them if the Broncos continue to win, even though their offense sucks. Their defense is just amazing. The Chiefs are getting 3 of their offensive linemen back, Juwan Taylor, Trey Smith, and we could see Simmons this week. He's been practicing, but with how much time he missed, I think he missed 5 weeks for the family matters. We might not see him. If we don't, I would be definitely concerned. Jalen Moore kind of got outclassed against the Bills. Mahomes had pressure in his face the entire game, and that kind of eliminated the deep balls down the field, which we've kind of been accustomed to seeing this season for the Chiefs with all of our receivers back. If Simmons misses and Moore's in, I think you're going to kind of see the offense from last year, these quick throws, get the ball out as quick as we can to kind of eliminate the pass rush for the Broncos. That's a pass rush that looks to be one of the best of all time. If they stayed on the track they are right now, I think if they stayed on this track, they'd be at 78 sacks on the year, which would be a record. I hope they don't continue that. If they do, it's going to be tough. But like I said, the Broncos offense is just terrible. Bo Nix, I have him in fantasy. Me and Alex kind of talked about this past week. He's so wishy-washy. They play terrible for three quarters. Then he plays much better in the fourth quarter. It's a hard fantasy play on a week-to-week. He's got 18 touchdowns, 8 picks. You just really can't trust him. And the same goes for Sutton because of this offense. He should be a wide receiver one that you plug in with no question, but that just hasn't really turned out this year. Troy Franklin has honestly been the number one target for the Broncos over late. So they're going against a good Chiefs defense, top five. I wouldn't be excited to play any receiver for the Broncos. If you had to, I think you play Sutton just based upon his red zone usage. He did get a target in the red zone. They just aren't accurate because of Bo Nix. He gets out of the pocket and thinks he's Patrick Mahomes, and he's just not. He airballs receivers. He tries to do too much. If he can stay in the pocket, deliver these balls accurately, I think Sutton will be a good play. Not great, but I think he'll be decent. As far as the running backs go, we talked about Dobbins likely going on IR. He's been one of the best rushers this year. It is exciting, though, because we might see a full game of usage from RJ Harvey. That really isn't Sean Payton's MO to only use one running back, so we might see Batty get thrown in there. But RJ Harvey, if he has the receiving work as well as the lion's share of the rushing attack, I think he would be a good play, although he's going against a good Chiefs defense. If we have one weakness, it is the rushing attack. We can't get much pressure on the quarterback either, but I'll put that aside. So I wouldn't be excited to play Bo Nix or any receiver on this team. The most excited I would be is for RJ Harvey to kind of see the usage he gets on this team without J.K. Dobbins. On the Chiefs side, this is arguably the best defense we're going against in the league. Pat Surtain is out, which is good, but the running back situation is bad for the Chiefs. Pacheco's out with a knee injury, did not practice. I don't expect to see him play. It should be Kareem Hunt. He's going to get red zone looks, which is kind of what you're hoping for with Kareem. He's not a dynamic runner. He's not going to bust out 20-yard runs. He's just going to get the short yardage attempts, which is really all the Chiefs need. But it was our downfall against the Bills. We couldn't run the ball consistently. So like I said, I think we're going to see a lot of short attempts in the passing game, kind of methodically move our way down the field. Rashee Rice should PPR his way to a good game. He's been heavily used in the red zone, so I think you can play him with confidence. Xavier Worthy wasn't on the injury report, but he popped up today with an ankle injury. So that's definitely something to monitor. He's been okay as far as target share. I think he's 7+. But his fantasy production really hasn't been there since Rashee Rice came back. So I wouldn't necessarily be excited to play Xavier Worthy. The Broncos are fifth against tight ends for fantasy. So although Travis Kelce does have past success against the Broncos, so I think you can play Travis Kelce as a middle tier tight end this week. And then Rashee Rice is an automatic play just because of his usage in this offense. He's going to have a 20% target share. So you automatically play him. Patrick Mahomes, best quarterback in the league, you play him. Other than that, if you're struggling, you might throw Xavier Worthy in there if he is good to go this game. Besides that, Marquise Brown, he's kind of a touchdown-dependent guy. Same with Juju, which he never does, so I wouldn't play Juju. But Brown, if you're in a deep league, I think you could play him, but it's very touchdown dependent. I'm obviously going with the Chiefs this game. We basically have to win to have a chance at the division. I don't think it's really attainable, but I think we're going to win this game, and hopefully we may be able to get to that one position in the division. This next game, Lions versus Eagles. It's an NFC showdown here. Two of the best teams out there. They both have good records. Eagles 7-2, Lions 6-3. It's a 46.5 point over under with the Eagles favored by 2.5. It was interesting last week. We saw Dan Campbell take over the play calling on this team. They scored 40 plus points. We got what we were accustomed to seeing from this past year. Jameson Williams finally had a good game. He's been struggling all year and target share. He finally got involved. He got a touchdown as well as a pretty good yardage amount. So I would definitely be excited for Jameson Williams going forward. If Dan Campbell, although he might not be making every call, it looks like he's overseeing that. And if he's going to get Jameson Williams more involved, that's very good. That's what we kind of expected to see this year with him getting that big contract. So it's definitely good to see. I think he's going to be a pretty good play against the Eagles with how much attention Amon-Ra is going to get. You obviously play Amon-Ra. He's one of the best receivers in the league. He's top five in fantasy. That's not even a question. Jared Goff has been very good this year. He's even in MVP conversations. 20-3 touchdown to interception ratio. Jahmyr Gibbs had an amazing game this past week with three touchdowns. He had a 40-point game. I think you play Goff, Gibbs, Amon-Ra, maybe Jameson Williams. I think you can finally play him with some sort of confidence. On the Eagles side, it's the weird vibes as usual with this team. A.J. Brown said this offense is a shit show on his live stream on YouTube. Although he is a diva receiver, he has the talent to back it up. So it's definitely weird seeing his usage on this team. I think you can play Devontae Smith with confidence. I think you can play Saquon. Although it hasn't been the Saquon we saw from this past year, he gets the work. He's going to be utilized, especially we saw this past game. He had a 40-yard reception. So if he gets more involved in the passing game, especially, I think you can start Saquon with confidence. Jalen Hurts, he's going to get the stupid tush push for a touchdown, so you can obviously play him. I would love to see the Lions win here. Although Philadelphia is favored, it's at Philadelphia. I would love to kind of rub this win in for Detroit in my friend Colton's face. So hopefully the Lions win this game. The Eagles look – I mean, they got the dub, so I can't say much. But against the Packers, it was a 10-7 game. It was basically a defensive showdown. The Nick Sirianni going for it on 4th and 6 with 30 seconds left in the game was undefensible. I really don't know how you can go for it at that position. The Packers had a chance to win it with the 60 or tie it with the 64-yard field goal. They came up just short. Nick Sirianni is just he coaches with his heart, so you got to respect that. But that was a very bad decision. So hopefully the Lions play. I think you can play a lot of guys on these two teams with a lot of confidence for fantasy this week. This last game, the Cowboys versus the Raiders, the Cowboys games every week have a high over-under. This is a 49.5. Dallas is favored by 3.5. Their defense is bad, but we could see Quinnen Williams kind of make a splash on this defense, see if he can improve it. I think he definitely will in the rushing attack. So that bodes not very good for Ginty, but Ginty is going to get all the work for this Raiders team. So I think you can play him with confidence. Although it might not be a high ceiling play, he offers you a pretty high floor with the work he gets on this team. One interesting thing on the Raiders is with them trading Jacoby Myers, it'll be cool to see who kind of steps forward in the receivers room. I think Trey Tucker is probably the guy that offers you the highest ceiling, especially against the bad back end for the Cowboys, who seem to be giving up just as many points as the Bengals, just slightly better. I think Tucker could be a boom or bust play for you. It'll be interesting to see if Jack Besh gets involved or maybe Thornton, the two rookies. We'll see their utilization. I would definitely love to see Jack Besh get more involved with me having him on Dynasty so I can rub it in Alex's face. But I don't think there's really any receivers you can play with confidence. Genty. And then Geno Smith is questionable for this game. So you might see Kenny Pickett back in there, which I don't think anybody would love to see that. On the Cowboys side, this is a very bad Raiders defense. I think you can play pretty much everybody. Dak Prescott's been playing great this year. He was in the MVP kind of discussion. He's kind of fallen out of that. But I think you can play him. Javonte Williams, he's been great this year, kind of resurrected his career. He's playing for a contract this upcoming year, so I think you can definitely play him. George Pickens, CD Lamb, they're going to be smash hits this week. So basically play all of the main guys on that team. And then lastly, I didn't mention Brock Bowers. We saw him get one big catch early last week, and we kind of expected it to be a big game for him. Didn't amount to much. So if Kenny Pickett's playing in this game, I think he may target Brock Bowers heavily, being the best player on the team, best tight end in the league. So I think you can still play Brock Bowers, whether Geno Smith is in there or Kenny Pickett. Although it's not a high ceiling play with Pickett, I think he'll PPR his way to a good week. If Geno's in, he loves to target him in the red zone. And with the Cowboys defense being so bad, I think you can play Brock Bowers with confidence. Then the last thing we'll talk about here is a good start for this week. He's been great all year. He's struggled with injuries in the past, but he seems to be very healthy this year. Devon Achane, he's a number three overall running back with 15 or more points in 9 of 10 games. What more can you ask for a running back, especially one that you drafted in the second or possibly third round? He's going against a bad Washington defense, and they lost Jaden Daniels, which is kind of a deflate for this team. Although they have a good backup in Marcus Mariota, I think you're definitely going to see a lot of points scored this game with a 47.5 point over-under. And we did see the Dolphins kind of take it to the Bills this past week, and they're, I would guess, a better defense than Washington. So you play Devon Achane. He's heavily utilized in the passing game. Heavily utilized in the rushing attack. He's just one of the best running backs in the league this year as far as fantasy goes. So you definitely play him with confidence. And just lastly, Jalen Waddle has been, since Tyreek has went out, he's been a wide receiver one. And I don't think a lot of people want to admit it just because of how bad he was this past year. But with Hill out, Waddle has been great. So I think you play him with confidence as well. That'll be the last thing for this week. We'll check back in on the Pats. So they won 27-14. They're now 9-2. I really think they're a lock for the one seed in the AFC, which is terrible to say because of how accustomed we've been with the Chiefs being in that position. But it is good to see the Pats kind of revitalize that franchise and have a quarterback who's top five. Drake May looks great. It's kind of interesting to see that draft class. Caleb Williams is playing well. Jaden Daniels, who we thought was the best quarterback out of that draft, it looks like it could be Drake now. This upcoming year, it could be Caleb Williams. So it's definitely an exciting draft class for quarterbacks this past year. But thank you guys for listening. Tune in next week. We should be back on Tuesday with our co-host Alex back. We missed him this week, but we're excited to get him back on here next week. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you next week.